Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only pro wrestling countdown show here at youtube.com/... Steven Larson, and also available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tell all your friends. YouTube has a bad habit of unsubscribing people, Larson.
So I've heard.
So deal with that. Anyways, like I said, we're also available wherever fine podcasts are, including the iOS podcast app. Hit the subscribe or download button there as well. And if you want to support the show financially, you can do so by going to patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a bevy of reward tiers, including that shirt at the $50 mark.
Yes.
Live streams, upcoming comic book postcards, and other things.
Speaking of shirts, we're on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Going In Raw logo shirt. 4 other designs.
Possibly 5 other designs, depending on what my schedule looks like for the rest of the week. Yeah.
Yes. So yesterday we discussed after the Superstar Shakeup, the winners of said Shakeup.
Yes.
Today, we're going to discuss
Losers. Yeah, the other end of that spectrum. Yes. Not just the kind of win. Not just like, you know, neutral. We only do winners and losers. Nobody stood pat. All winners and losers. That's not actually true. There are 10 losers that we could think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll start off with number 10.
10.
Randy Orton.
Yeah, so
everybody forgot about that WWE World title, didn't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Feels like it.
I mean, there was so much excitement on SmackDown about the shakeup, about a title,
sure.
But it was the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Randy had a match, wasn't a title defense, against Eric Rowan in the first match of the night.
Wait a second. Who won that match?
Eric Rowan? No.
Oh, that's right.
No, he didn't.
No, Randy Orton. DQ. Randy Orton won.
But here's the thing. So, assuming that things play out how we suspect, that Bray will lose his House of Horrors match to Randy Orton at Payback, then that leaves Randy Orton as the WWE champion as a relatively boring face, and he just feels like a transitional champion to whenever they want to put it on either AJ or Shinsuke.
There's too much hot talent up at the upper end, the top end of SmackDown right now. You got Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah, Kevin Owens, granted the current U.S. champion, but we all know he's ready to move on. He's a former Universal champion.
Yes.
Sami Zayn is hot right now. Of course, AJ Styles, former world champion.
Yes.
Baron Corbin, hot young talent.
Yes.
Ready to move on to the world title scene.
But let's say that the WWE title is treated like the U.S. title in that SmackDown brought over the belt, not necessarily the title holder. So, say Bray does win, stays on SmackDown, then Randy moves over to Raw.
No.
And then he's just another face on Raw when they already have too many of them.
Yeah. I kind of feel like, okay, so here's the thing. I really love what SmackDown did.
Yes.
With bringing out Kevin Owens and then
Baron Corbin
and then Sami Zayn and then AJ Styles.
Yes.
What if, let me just throw this to you, what if we're in the creative room and I'm whoever head writer is that isn't Vince or Stephanie or Triple H.
All right.
And I say, all right, here's what we're going to do. Kevin Owens comes out and then Randy Orton comes out. That'd be kind of an interesting dynamic right there because then you have the guy who thinks he's top champion, Kevin Owens, and then the guy who is top champion, Randy Orton, comes out. And they don't necessarily have to get into a feud with each other because then you can bring out Baron Corbin. But they're kind of just right now, until the House of Horrors match, Randy Orton is sort of in formality area.
Because
Wyatt, I mean, they have to do this match. They have to have a blow-off, even though like they could have just said WrestleMania was their blow-off.
I know, but I guess various sources have said that Bray's move to Raw was a last-minute thing.
Yeah, I know.
They moved him instead of AJ.
Do you think it was the last, like, literally between him saying a House of Horrors match and then them deciding? I guess that would have to be the case.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have announced the House of Horrors match.
So it's kind of weird, like, Randy Orton stuck in this feud that we all know has, you know, is basically over. It's for all intents and purposes.
A lame duck feud.
It's a lame duck feud, exactly. And so from the outset, Randy Orton would appear. But not only is he... He just feels like a transitional champion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's holding the belt for whenever they put it on Shinsuke or...
AJ.
Or even Baron Corbin, who it'd be interesting to have two transitional champions in a row. I'm not sure. I think Baron Corbin would be less transitional, but I think he would still be transitional.
Oh, he'd still be transitional because they'd put the belt on him, a heel, so a face could get it off him.
Which any number of people can take.
I think that's the literal definition of a transitional champion.
So I honestly think, let me ask you this. If the scenario played out the way I had sort of mentioned it, the fantasy booking SmackDown where Randy Orton comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Would he still be on this list?
No.
I would kind of say no. It was just, it felt that way, the way they treated him in the belt on that first episode of SmackDown.
It felt like an afterthought.
It felt like an afterthought. Like he opened, or he has an early show match against Eric Rowan, and he's holding that belt, and he's still in a lame duck feud.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have had their cake and eat it, too. You could have shown how big, like... They could have shown this is the prize that all these new kids that are coming here, this is what you're going to be fighting for. And I understand making the U.S. title that thing.
Yeah.
But on SmackDown, you've got nothing but full-timers. So why would that be the case?
I know. And they could have brought Bray in on the Titantron still. They could have done
They could have had
virtually everything they did.
Yeah.
Just orchestrated it differently. And it probably would have been more effective. And Randy wouldn't have found himself on this list.
It would have given us the illusion that he wasn't a loser, but he is kind of a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number nine.
Nine.
Mickie James. This was my one problem. Imagine, again, I'm going to fantasy book her intro on Raw. So she ended up on Raw. And I think I mentioned this on our Raw recap, but I'll reiterate here on Countdown.
Count out.
So Alexa Bliss shows up during the Bayley-Sasha Banks segment. I thought it was beautifully done. It was perfect. She's a star.
Yes.
And then comes Mickie James right after her saying, wait, hold on a second. No, I'm here too with you.
Yeah.
That immediately shot her in the foot.
Yeah.
Because then she's just the guy who came in after the main guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
If she had, so Nia Jax had a match against Charlotte that night?
Yes.
Was that true?
Okay. Yes.
So if she had somehow asserted herself into that match.
Yes.
Interfered somehow. Maybe raise the ire of Nia Jax, perhaps, since Charlotte was on lame duck status herself because she's going to SmackDown. That would have been a way to, because here's the thing. We know multiple people from the brand are coming over. We don't want to see those feuds continue.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
And my Mickie James coming out when she did, she just looked like also random. Like, oh, hey, still some baggage you have over here.
I know.
Nobody wants to see that. We want to see fresh feuds. And so for her to come out against Nia Jax, then, oh, wow, Mickie James is here, but we're sort of forgetting the fact that she's had some dealings with Alexa Bliss.
Yes, absolutely.
So in this regard, it's kind of just a matter of a placement.
But also, too,
or booking,
I think,
on the show.
I think with, you know, SmackDown's women's division has a lot of depth, but not a lot of star power.
Right.
So it was conceivable for at any point Mickie James to be inserted to the title picture.
Absolutely.
And be a contender.
Yeah.
On Raw, it doesn't feel that way.
Right.
It feels like Bayley, obviously, champion. Sasha feels ahead of her in line. I would say Alexa Bliss is. Mm-hmm. Nia is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, fourth or fifth?
Juxtapose that
in line
with what she could have done on SmackDown. You have, what is she, five or six time?
Six time.
Six time women's champion. Versus Charlotte, who's already like a 15-time.
Four-time, I think.
Four-time, exactly. So you've got like a veteran against the foundation of the women's division now.
It could be an interesting story.
That's a built-in storyline there.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't
and
do
that. And now we don't have that.
No, we don't.
So, yeah, I just don't feel like that was a good move for Mickie James.
No.
Number eight.
Eight.
Bray Wyatt, man.
So we mentioned
him. I'm on the losers list, man. I'm on the winners list, too.
Yeah, you are on both, Bray. So... Here's why I worry that Bray could end up being a loser in all this.
Okay, man.
So he loses at Payback.
That's a guarantee, man.
Pretty much.
I'm
gets
not
sent to Raw.
That title. We don't even know what the House of Horrors is yet,
we
man.
We don't. Gets sent to Raw, and then it feels like it's just back to Bray Wyatt circa 2 years ago, where he's in a bunch of interesting feuds, does some interesting character work.
Hold on. It's back to Bray Wyatt as of a year ago.
Okay, sorry.
Or 2 years ago.
Or three years ago. Anyways. Yeah. He's in these interesting feuds. In the end, he always loses.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. If his first feud on Raw, first major feud, is going to be against Finn Balor, he's not coming out on top.
Nope.
He's not.
Yeah.
We both really like Bray.
Yeah.
We want to see him succeed.
Yes.
His first reign as champion was lame. He deserves a real, proper, extended championship reign because he does really good work.
I do great work, man. I'm a good wrestler, too.
And I just know going to Raw, you know, if he's going to get in a program with Finn, he's not going to be in the Intercontinental title program.
Listen to me, man. So listen. My brother Bo is here, though.
That's true.
My brother Bo is here.
That's a possibility.
That might get it. That might add a silver lining to the Bray Wyatt.
And we can see some conundrum story potentially between Bray and Braun Strowman down the line. That could be interesting.
Hey, you know what, though? Hey.
But short term, he's both winner and loser.
Yeah, no, I know. I could see him looking at that Intercontinental title.
But he's got to get through his program with Finn first.
A lot of other people are going to be looking at that Intercontinental title.
And we've also, assuming Dean still has the title by the time Bray and Finn are done, we've seen Bray and Dean a couple times.
He's not. I'm telling you. We're different on this one. We gotta. Let's bet. Let's six-pack.
Okay.
A six-pack over whether or not Dean will walk into SummerSlam as Intercontinental champion. All right? Let's do that. Because I say no, you say yes.
Yes.
All right.
They like Dean.
But, man, I think they really like Samoa Joe.
They do. But I think Joe and Seth are going to have a little more protracted feud.
A little bit longer?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's number seven.
Seven.
Kevin Owens. This is interesting. I thought he was a huge winner yesterday.
He was a huge winner.
This is your choice. Let's hear what you say.
Yeah. It's because without knowing exactly how he's going to be used on SmackDown, I put him tentatively as a loser because he went from being what would have been, without a doubt, the top week-to-week champion on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
To being, at least by definition, the secondary champion week-to-week on SmackDown because their world champion is on TV on a weekly basis.
He's a full-timer, that's right.
Unlike Raw's.
Yeah.
And I thought potentially that would be a step down.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the first week of booking on SmackDown, it seems like they're trying to elevate the U.S. title to roughly on par with the WWE title. If that continues, then Kevin Owens will probably, his position in this list, unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a situation, too, where they're having him in that position. He can drop the belt to AJ to be instantly inserted in the main event picture. Again, he'd be removed from this list if that were the case.
He's a lot of ways off this list.
Yes, but right now, he's both a winner and a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Kevin Owens. He does incredible work. He's going to be in a prominent position regardless.
Can I just say this?
What?
You know why he deserves to be on this list? He looks way cooler with a beard.
He does.
And he looks way cooler in black. Gray is not his color. That suit. Honestly, if he had a beard, it'd make all the difference.
Yeah.
Without the beard.
It was jarring. It was jarring without the beard.
It was jarring is a great word. It looks like Sears Mattress Man.
Yeah.
He looks like Mattress Firm guy.
Yeah.
Hello. How can I help you? Do you want a mattress? I don't know why that accent. I just pulled out that accent. It was weird. Do you want a mattress? Hey, come here. My name is Kevin Owens. You want a mattress or no? Yes. Lay down, feel it out fist.
So, I mean, this is kind of a tentative spot on this list. It could easily change. Not that we're going to go back and redo it.
No, we're not.
But right now, short term, potentially, Kevin Owens could be a loser in this. I don't think he will long term, but until we see how things play out, number seven.
I'm sticking with my reasoning, and here's the thing. Next week, if his stubble grows out a bit more, he'll be at number eight. The following week, get a bit more beard, number nine. Following week, full beard, 10. Following week, black suit, off the list.
Okay.
Because I think he looks cool with a beard and black suit. Number six.
Six.
Kurt Hawkins. He's a loser at any time. It didn't take the superstar shakeup to make him a loser.
Well,
he's a terrible wrestler.
Well, he's not a terrible wrestler.
Nah, that's
messed
up to
say. He's been saddled with a crap wrestler gimmick.
No, it's not. It's not. He's just been settled with losing all the time. Like the face-to-face shit.
No, I don't mind it either, but it's not getting over, period.
Oh, God.
So in that sense, it's a crap gimmick.
You know what's sad, too? You look into his eyes when he's out there, and he knows it.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He knows
100%.
He knows that he came back to the big leagues after fighting with our good friend Grimm. And, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I put him on this list as a loser because at least on SmackDown, you have the hope, based on their writing team, maybe at some point they'd find something to work for him.
Yeah, man.
But on Raw, you don't have those same hopes.
You know, that's the thing about SmackDown. SmackDown, what they say, you know, in storyline, it's a land of opportunity. Kind of is true.
Yeah.
So at any point, hold on a second.
What?
Why isn't Apollo Crews on here? I think, did we literally forget about him so hardcore off the losers list?
No,
he wasn't even on the first episode of Raw.
I know.
At least Chad Hawkins was on SmackDown.
I know. No, on Raw, you mean.
Raw, yeah, Raw. Sorry.
No, I didn't forget about Apollo. I just...
And here's...
I'm kind of waiting to see how things play out.
Here's why Chad Hawkins should be on the winners list, man. Because now the announcers are going to get his name right. There was like three times that Morrow said Chad Hawkins.
I know.
It's weird. Oh. So yeah, but anyways, no, Curt Hawkins. Yeah. What you're saying is completely right. On SmackDown, there was always the sideways possibility that he might get, hey, look at Aiden English, Simon Gotch tipped over a chair in the cafeteria. Then he left. Aiden English didn't bury him. They came out, he got to sing, and then he lost.
Yeah.
Curt Hawkins, at any time, they could have given him something. They could have given him a push. On Raw, he's gonna be permanent jobber guy.
Yeah.
That's what his thing is going to be.
I know.
I mean, he was already permanent jobber guy.
But this now seems like permanent jobber guy with no hopes of being anything more than permanent jobber guy.
He was buried 6 feet. Now he's buried 9 feet.
I wonder if Curt Hawkins would qualify to be in the cruiserweight division. I don't know how much he weighs.
Man, I'm enjoying 205 Live right now, okay?
I know.
I'm enjoying 205
Live. I am too.
Can you please not try to ruin it for me? Face the facts, Larson. He's too heavy.
You said you liked his gimmick, though.
He's 6'1". There's no way that dude's 205.
223, so yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
He needs to drop 18 pounds.
He'll look like man dying of thirst. If that's his new gimmick on 205 Live, I'm totally
I was in. Just trying to think of a way for him to potentially get more TV time.
I know, man. No, I know. Main event. He's probably all over main event.
Could be.
He probably is.
Remember his big debut at No Mercy, and he came out before the show even started? I don't think it was televising yet. I don't think it was even pre-show. And he came out and dropped a promo and left, and everybody booed him.
Oh, man.
Not a good way to start.
No. Poor guy.
I know.
Where's Zack Ryder? He's on SmackDown? Yeah, he's on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, he's recuperating from a knee injury.
I bet anything he's probably up in the air. If they want him on Raw when he comes back from injury, they'll probably put him on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Although Emma's on... Oh, they broke up.
Yeah.
So they like to fuck with people. Dean is on... They moved Dean to Raw right after they got married. Him and Renee Young.
I know.
Sucks. Anyways, that was a lot of fun talking about Curt Hawkins. Number five.
Five.
Heath Slater and Rhino.
On SmackDown, they managed to get Heath Slater over huge.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of similar to the Curt Hawkins situation where Slater had a fan base on SmackDown. They got him over. They got the tag titles, and they didn't really do anything with him.
Sure.
And between the lack of depth in the tag division, mm-hmm. where at any point they could say, all right, Slater and Rhino, we're going to push you. And the fact that we have far less faith in Raw's creative team than we do in SmackDown to create interesting stories for these guys.
Right.
I think they kind of lost getting moved over to Raw. They're just going to be another jobber tag team on Raw now.
I'm a bit more optimistic on this one than you are. I'll be honest. I kind of feel like they're maybe standing pat. What other tag teams are on? Yeah, they're going to be jobbing to the club. They're going to be jobbing. You're right. I mean, you're right. I just feel like they weren't doing much in the first place.
No, but they had
sort of guaranteed them not doing much more.
I know. Yeah, they had a storyline in SmackDown that was popular and successful, and they didn't do anything else with it. But mm-hmm. it seemed like at least on SmackDown, there's a chance that they could say, okay, we're going to revive this angle somehow, some way, in hopes to try to get you guys back in the title picture. And I don't see that happening on Raw.
The Hardys, the club.
Revival. Cesaro and Sheamus.
Cesaro and Sheamus are four hugely popular. Those are big-time tag teams. And Slater and Rhino will be jobbing to them, especially now that the Shining Stars are gone. Ouch! Oh, man, they just took over the Shining Star spot, didn't they? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. They deserve to be on the loser list. Oh, man.
Which is a bummer because...
Oh, I love them. They're great.
They're great. They got fantastic. Themselves over.
Yeah, they did.
Huge.
Big time.
And it's no fault of their own that, the creative staff on SmackDown didn't do anything with them afterwards.
They should have had an angle where Randy Orton burned down Slater's...
above ground pool?
Double wide.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
See, there's a good story.
But then you watch the kids running away. Like, they're good. They're fine. Maybe, like, the pet turtle got killed. Because you need a casualty.
Other than property damage?
Yeah, right? A pet turtle? Pet turtle's fine. Pet Turtle's fine. Pet Turtle lives, right?
Yeah, Pet Turtle lives.
Number four.
Four.
American Alpha.
They'll still be a prominent feature, I think, of SmackDown's tag team division, but they just lost their I mean, they were probably the top face tag team.
For sure. No, not probably. Now, definitely.
The New Day.
Now, the most popular act maybe in the history of tag team wrestling. I'm not going to go that far.
I know.
Modern era for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Now they're in town.
Yeah.
And I would like to think, look, the ever optimist I am, I would like to think that the American Alpha team is going to benefit from New Day, to learn from them, maybe to draw out some of their personality. But yes, as you say, they were definitely top face tag team.
Yes.
We saw them get dispatched cleanly by the Usos.
In a great match, a hard fought match.
Fantastic match.
Yes.
And now the New Day are coming in. That brings American Alpha down to, like, I don't know, Ascension level.
Slightly above Ascension
Slightly
level.
Slightly above. But I tell me they're not going to be fighting the Ascension.
Oh, yeah, they will be. But they'll be beating the Ascension.
Yeah, they will be. American Alpha versus Shining Stars.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed.
We are headed that direction, yes. And American Alpha.
Oh, that's right. They attacked.
Yeah. American Alpha should come out ahead of that feud.
You'd think.
They should.
Yeah, you'd think. I want to be optimist. Let them interact. Any interaction with the New Day.
Yeah.
And your personality comes through.
Yeah. And hopefully, too, you know, without the pressure of being tag champions.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
They'll have some opportunities to get some additional seasoning, mm-hmm. develop yeah. characters. Excuse me. So in 6-8 months, they can jump back into the tag title picture.
I'm going to make a prediction right now.
What?
By the end of the year, American Alpha will be a team no more.
Okay.
I think they're going to pull the trigger on a breakup before they...
You think so?
Yeah, I kind of do. Why did American Alpha go to Raw where they could be mentored by Kurt Angle? Give me a break.
I know. That would make a world of sense.
Maybe if they actually sign Shelton Benjamin, maybe he can do something with them.
Yes. Well, Shelton's cleared to wrestle.
He's cleared, but he technically never signed.
I know.
Yeah. So hopefully
it was during his physical they discovered the injury, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Number three.
Three.
Luke Harper. I'm telling you, man, they're missing out on big, big money if they don't go with Dude Lebowski, the Dude Harper. Bathrobe, sweatpants, same as he's wearing sweatpants, maybe sometimes pajama pants, flip-flops. Hair down, all right, and then give him Djokovic, Heavy Machinery, as his John Goodman character, Oney Lorcan as a Steve Buscemi character. Otherwise, he's definitely a loser. What are they going to do with Harper, man?
I don't know. They should have. If rumors were true, should have stuck with their initial instincts and had him involved. Because you know we heard they had that. There's that battle royal where Harper and AJ both won.
Oh yeah,
and they said they did that so they could essentially give themselves more time to decide what they wanted to do.
Yep.
They should have had Harper win it, have Harper in the match between Wyatt and Orton. Yep. That should have been a triple threat match.
Yep.
That would have made the story a heck of a lot more interesting.
Yeah, you'd like to think.
It would have made it potentially interesting.
You'd like to think.
Instead, as soon as AJ beat him, they just kind of relegated him back to mid-card status. He looks great. He looks like he's in incredible shape.
Dude,
he's great in the ring.
It's not just that they relegated him to mid-card status. They did the thing where they take a member of a heel faction, they turn him face simply by having him take a shower and put on clean clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, it has failed time and time and time again. When was Billy Kidman most interesting?
In The Flock.
When he was doing this shit.
Yeah.
And then what happened? He was still a good wrestler who couldn't hit a 450 splash?
Shooting Star Press.
Shooting Star Press without concussing people. But he was just generic, kind of boring looking dude. And then he bulked up a little bit, and then it was like, no. And then he was gone.
Yeah.
Billy Kidman was far more fascinating as a member of The Flock.
Yeah.
Luke Harper, unless they give him a character turnaround of some sort,
of some serious magnitude as well. But here's the thing, too. If Bray had at least stayed on SmackDown, then at least there's still elements of their story that they haven't tied up yet.
I guess we're kind of wrong when we say that it's only Dolph and Ty at the mid-card scene.
No, there's Luke,
you got
yeah.
Luke and you got Eric Rowan.
I guess.
There's no, you know, Bray's not on Raw anymore.
No. So they could have continued this Bray-Luke Harper story after, you know, the House of Horrors match.
I know.
They could have done that. That would have been something at least for Luke to do.
And
he could have got a win over Bray.
And given that there's no Randy Orton you have to protect, that they could have actually had something interesting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But instead, It just literally seemed like there's nothing for him to do.
Oh, side note. You remember how we were arguing the other day over what Eric Rowan's music sounds like?
Oh, I saw this. Apparently it's, oh, what it sounds like?
I listened to it. It's literally both of what we said. There is banjo.
And music box.
And there's music box.
We're both right.
We were.
It's great when that happens.
Huh? I know, right? Everybody wins. Listen, baby. Everybody wins with Eric Rowan's music. Yeah, Luke Harper. He can't get lost in the shuffle, man. He's too. I'm hoping, again, optimistic. I'm hoping that maybe the very fact that they were thinking of tossing him in the triple threat, maybe that alone will make them look at him seriously.
Yeah, I'd like to hope so.
You know,
but everything that we've seen since he lost that match against AJ leads me to believe that they don't.
Yeah,
and
no,
that bums me out because Luke Harper is great.
He's fantastic.
He's
great. Telling you, listen, Dude Harper.
Can we just move on to the next one?
Dude Harper, man. Number two.
Two.
The Miz and Maurice. They were king and queen of SmackDown there, you know, leading up to Mania.
I know. You know, AJ says he is the foundational piece of SmackDown. I
felt the same way about The Miz.
The Miz was the foundation of Talking Smack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was great.
He made that show.
No, he totally did.
And I'm sure The Miz and Maurice will still do really good work on Raw. But, you know, especially with no top belt on TV week after week, I don't think they're going to revisit the feud with Dean already.
Yeah, I don't think
so. What is there for him to do? At least on SmackDown, he could find a way with the limited size of the midcard to do something.
Yeah, here's what he has going for him. He's coming off a John Cena thing. He apparently is going to keep on doing the John Cena thing, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
There's not a lot of heel activity going on.
Oh, I know.
And he's a heel. He's a solid heel.
Yeah.
His problem might be if the fans really, I mean, he's good at getting heel heat, so I don't think it's going to be a problem. But if the fans start appreciating him too much, he's going to get lost in a sea of faces.
Yes.
So he really needs to heel it up.
Yes.
Keep him away from Dean because that's just too SmackDown. And give me a face. Who can he go against? Non-SmackDown guy. Give him a wrestler. A post Samoa Joe Seth Rollins.
Okay. So, but like if he'd stay on SmackDown, I could have named three people he could have feuded with.
Why do I feel like Seth Rollins is the only face on Raw? There's Seth. There's Braun Roman weird thing.
Yes.
I don't know what they are.
I don't know either. Finn. But Finn's going to be in a thing with Bray.
Oh, yeah. Finn. Oh, Finn Miz would be weird.
It would be weird.
That'd be odd.
But if the Miz stayed on...
Even Seth Miz would be bad. Because you have Seth doing his jokey thing, and he's terrible at that.
If the Miz had stayed on SmackDown, we'd never really saw Miz AJ.
Boy, Raw got the fucking Raw end of the stick, didn't they? This is like as bad as the draft.
Finally.
But the other way around.
Finally, there's balance, I guess.
I guess so.
Like Miz AJ, we never really got that.
Right.
We never got a protracted Miz Baron Corbin thing.
Yeah.
They teased both those, and it would have been interesting.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah.
So, yeah, I just worry that Miz is kind of going to get lost in the shuffle on Raw, whereas on SmackDown, he had a major presence on that show.
I agree.
And he did consistently excellent work, both him and Maurice. But, yeah, like, who is he? Assuming you take Dean out of the equation, who is he going to feud with on Raw?
I'm going to go to WWE.com
yes.
and give you that answer.
Look at their roster.
Mojo Rawley.
He's on SmackDown.
He's on SmackDown still. He's a winner. Drew McIntyre.
He's on NXT.
Hold on. I'm going to go to shows. And I'm going to see shows. Let's see here. Miz, Roman, Seth, Brock, Finn, Alexa. They're all in the front thing to that. Let's see here. Oh, the Drifter, Elias Sampson. No good.
Happen. Not right now, no.
Let's see here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Raw roster, and I'm drawing a blank.
Jericho's going to be gone. Yeah. Jericho Miz would be cool.
It would be cool.
Shit in the past, I think.
Probably, but yeah, Jericho's going to be gone for a couple months.
He's going to be gone, so that's not, yeah, I'm not saying.
But everybody else is either doing something or they're in a tag team.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding.
So it could be the Drifter.
Big Cass. Hey, Big Cass.
He's in a tag team.
I guarantee you it's not going to be for long.
Yeah, I mean, that might be something.
Miz versus Big Cass is good.
Yeah, down the line, but I'm saying right now.
Right now. Monday. Book it. Right now. I'm telling you, okay. This is going to happen. Miz versus Big Cass.
Don't think so.
What do you think is going to happen Monday with the Miz? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know.
Give me an idea.
He'll come out as John Cena again.
Okay.
And Maybe they'll establish something. I don't know against who.
That's what I'm saying. Just,
I don't know.
Take a guess. Take a guess.
Probably Dean, because there's nobody else. Probably. Dean has nothing to do.
No, not Dean. Probably Dean.
Yep.
Didn't they did that before. They've been doing that for like 8 years
Yeah, they've
now.
Done that a few times.
That was terrible. Number one.
One.
Gallows and Anderson, the Bullet Club.
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 Two-thirds of the club.
We thought for sure they were going to be reunited with AJ Styles, either by AJ going to Raw or them going to SmackDown, where the division is weak and they could have dominated. But instead, no.
No.
Now they're stuck.
They're on Raw, and they've been supplanted as top heel team by the Revival.
Well.
No, they have. They have. They absolutely have. The Revival just beaten the New Day twice in 2 weeks. I don't think the club has ever beaten the New Day clean.
Strong debut. Let's see where they are in a month.
I think they're thoroughly invested in the Revival being top heel tag team.
I hope so, because I really love
them.
They
are fantastic.
But I'm not writing off the club just
yet.
No,
I'm not. I'm not either. We're speaking short term.
SmackDown really needed the depth of the club. They really did. The club definitely needed it. And now they're just, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're,
They're not going to be a jobber tag team, but they're not going to be contending for those titles anytime soon.
No, they're not. Why did they have them job out to Roman Reigns by himself again? I hate saying that people are getting buried. I'm still not saying they're buried. They're not shining stars, but.
Well, for 2 weeks, they got buried by Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a sustained thing, but for two weeks.
I still kind of feel like the club is one of those teams that, like, you know what, you can bury them and then they can come back just like that. I just don't know if they're going to come back just like that. And yeah, they needed
it
a
would
change.
Have been,
they needed a change.
It would have been a lot easier for them to come back like that with a change of scenery on SmackDown. This is what I'm thinking.
They could have had a massive face turn by joining AJ on SmackDown.
But that might be the thing. Maybe they want to keep Gallows and Anderson heel and have AJ be a face, and they didn't have to worry about their connection getting in the way of all that.
I know. You're probably right about that.
Still, there could have been a way around it. Just don't have them interact.
No, I know. They do that plenty. Like, come on. They're best friends with Finn Balor.
I know.
So, yeah. No, I agree with this. I think that they desperately need a change of scenery. They desperately need stronger booking. I'm wondering if they can pull off. Yeah.
You know how the Revival's been booked? Mm-hmm. That's really how the club should have been booked from the beginning.
I know. Because they're a good tag team.
Yeah, they're
like,
good.
Like, they work well together as a tag team.
They got tons of personality.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, with the Revival, and granted, the Revival have been doing this for years, they have a really good blend of being badasses, but also being funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I wonder, I'm not really joking or facetious when I say I want to wait a month on the Revival and just see what they're doing with them. Because as big of a fan as I am in the Revival, I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to be treated properly on the main roster. So I want to see where they are. I don't know. Part of me thinks like a month or 2 months from now, they're going to be the title holders.
Yeah. I think if anybody's got a chance to beat the Hardys, it's going to be the Revival.
Yeah.
Because the Hardys are going to beat Cesaro and Sheamus at Payback. Then I wouldn't be surprised if the Revival get in a program with Cesaro and Sheamus to build them up a bit more.
No, you're right.
And then at SummerSlam.
With the Revival coming up, the club suddenly seems redundant.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes.
And a change of scenery. Because, you know, like the closest SmackDown has... What's the top SmackDown heel team? The Usos. They're not like the club.
No.
The closest thing that SmackDown has that's kind of like the club is the Ascension, but they're terrible.
Yeah.
And so there is a big void that they could have filled there.
Yeah, this non-move is the most baffling.
Yeah.
It made all the sense of the world to really take Gallows and Anderson off Raw, even if AJ went to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all want to see a club reunion. Mm-hmm. We think it'd be great, but it's not going to happen if Gallows and Anderson heels AJ's face. So regardless of what they did with AJ, just sending the club to SmackDown would have done them a world of good.
Yeah, no, I know.
And they didn't do it. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, Steve.
I don't know either, man.
I'm looking for answers.
I'm not part of WWE Creative.
Give me answers.
Yet. There are no answers, man. Well, we'll find out. We'll see like what happens a month from now. I'd be really interested in seeing a club versus Revival feud.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
That could be a feud where who can out-heal the other.
I know, exactly. Because we've seen, well, they put on some really good matches.
Yes.
We've seen the club versus pretty much everybody except for the Revival.
Yes.
So I don't know, maybe if, well, they're not going to bring DIY up to Raw. I'm not even sure they're going to be up to bring him up to Maine before SmackDown or before SummerSlam.
No, I don't think so. But if right now it makes more sense to bring him up to Raw with the New Day and American Alpha on SmackDown, there's your top two face tag teams.
Who do you think the Hardys are going to be facing off with first in terms of like an actual feud?
You mean after Cesaro and Sheamus? Because they have a match at Payback.
They have a match at Payback. Okay.
But that's face versus face.
And that doesn't count. That's face versus face. I mean, Payback is such a formality at this point.
I know.
It's like, let's just get matches out of the way. So
the next Raw pay-per-view after that will be in June. Could be the Revival.
It's either going to be the Revival or it's going to be the Club. Although I just get this gut feeling. I have this gut feeling that they're going to want to put the Revival up against Sheamus and Cesaro first.
Yes.
Which is going to make for some really good matches.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. And also, the Hardys beat the Club with relative ease at the Raw after Mania.
Yeah, so I can see them wanting to bury the Club even further or against the Hardys.
Maybe.
Give them something to chew on with that feud.
Yes.
Like, have the Club come out on top a little bit against the Hardys. And
well,
then the Hardys can
here's part of the problem, too, is I think maybe just legally they don't have to deal with this. The Hardys are back, but they're not in a story.
Yeah, I know.
They're just back wrestling, and they have the championships. And I know they appeared on Raw Talk once. Mm-hmm. But that was just kind of to talk about their experience being back. They're not actually in a real storyline with anybody right now.
Yeah, I know.
Even
I know.
With the Cesaro and Sheamus thing, they won a number one contender match. Apart from the 8-person tag match, I think they have not really crossed paths.
Mm-hmm.
So it remains to be seen how involved in storylines the Hardys are actually going to be until they either find a way to proceed with the Hardys that keeps them legally in the clear as far as the Impact stuff, or they settle the legal matters with Impact.
There, I will almost guarantee they're not going to spend one dime of legal money on that.
Oh, no.
I almost guarantee you that. And in which case, the Hardys are just going to be the Hardys. They'll probably let Matt, they'll let him do the delete thing because you can't really take that away from him.
No.
He's already been talking normal.
Yeah.
He might, because he is straddling a line, and I think he's just, they're just going to let him straddle that line.
Yeah, they're going to give the fans just enough of what they want.
Yeah.
To keep them happy.
But that's it.
Otherwise, they're just the Hardys.
That's it. So I honestly don't think like that aspect of it plays into their plans at all. So I could see them after Payback getting into a thing with the Club. I could see that. I think, I'm telling you, who did I say? Is going to take on, The Miz. Is going to take on Cass.
You know, it'd be a good feud to be Matt Hardy and The Miz. That would be good.
Curious, why do you say that?
I just think it'd be interesting.
Oh, I'm fine with it. I didn't know if you had something in mind. Like,
no,
there was
I just think the matchup of personalities would be interesting.
You know what's going to be annoying? You know what they're totally going to do? What if they start just do? You know how The Miz did with John Cena? Whenever he's in a feud, is he going to do that?
Oh, is he going to?
I can totally see. He's probably not.
I know.
I can totally see them being lame and doing that, though.
He would be the new Damian Sandow.
Yeah. Oddly enough. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of losers. No, I'm joking. I like Damian Sandow.
Yeah, I do too.
He's not wrestling anymore, though.
Well, just not right now.
No, not right now. Anyways, that's it. Let us know who you felt lost in the Superstar Shakeup.
Yes.
Where's Fashion Police on here? Let's just say Fashion Police, winners or losers?
Neither.
Neither?
I don't think their spot changes whatsoever.
Where are they right now? They're on SmackDown?
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to benefit by the New Day being there? They'll get some... They'll be able to issue out some fashion tickets to the New Day.
They might have a funny segment, and then the New Day will dispatch of them, and that'll be it.
I love Fandango, man.
I do, too.
I think he's great.
I do, too.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Anyways, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.